greater than out? Then the other guy, look, he's like, that's a bridge over there. The site was sight on the bridge, so they walked. They walked across the bridge and be like, oh man, we saving a lot of time. Get to the end of the bridge, it was closed for construction. Wow. Well, me being in church basically all my life, my old Baptist church, you know, is where you get the foundation of hymns. And every Sunday I heard, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. And I was a little inquisitive at first. I was like, everybody can't be blind. You know, it was like, gosh, it's like, he restored everyone's sight because they were blind. And later in life, I found out that it was spiritual blindness. Okay, I have some scripture. Okay, turn to Acts. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And I almost forgot. I need to, the title of this message is Seeing Over Sight. Okay, verse 1 reads, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, whoa, wrong one, sorry. We in Acts. Yes. Verse 1 said, and Saul, yet breathing out, threatening and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord unto the high priest, and desired of him a letter to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they be man or woman, might bring them bond unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and the hand's voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? It was a question. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against pricks. It's amazing. What's interesting, I'm going to stop here, is like, we are talking about a man that slaughtered Christians, were murderers, and he had a group behind him. But yet, he knew the voice of God. And as it reads on, and he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And I'm going to stop right there. It seems in order, you don't want to get to a point where God will have to shake you in attention. And the people who were following him, they said, well, who we going to persecute today? Who we going to kill today? You know, we ready. He got men behind him. And when he started trembling, and I guess it was like, whoa. Be like, oh, I don't think no murder's going on today. They were wondering what happened to him. And the interesting part, God made himself known right then to Saul. But the people around him didn't see what Paul saw. They heard, but they did not see. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. I want to, at first I want to stop and say, is at this point we finding out that seeing and having sight is a totally different ball game. It is, but then it's not, because sight is seeing with insight. Is seeing beyond what the naked eye can see. And I'm going to stop right here for a minute, because I kind of, you know, want to keep this picture going on. Three or four weeks ago, I was asleep. And in my room, the left door is to the bathroom, the right door is to the hallway. And when you sleep, sometimes you gotta use the bathroom, and you can wing it because you know where you're going. But this particular time, both doors were open. So I immediately hung a right when I should've left. And I'm there walking around, and it's like, man, this is a long time to get to the bathroom. And I'm walking. But as I'm walking and finally realize, hey, I'm not in the bathroom, and then when I finally came to it was moonlight shining, so I knew where I was facing the stairway. It seems like we always know, or we always think we know. We think we know where we're going. We think we know where we're going. But we don't know the end result when we get there. That's why we're constantly tripping over ourselves over and over again, because we're only going by sight. We only going by what we physically can see. Okay. Okay, in Verse 9 said, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did not eat nor drink. By this time, I can imagine he's kind of scared. So scared he cannot eat or drink. That wouldn't be me. But anyway, that was him. And 10 said, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul the Tarsus, for behold, the prayer. And 12 said, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. So, during this journey, God is pre-orchestrating, getting things in line, getting things prepared for what is to come. Because God knew, but Saul didn't know, he was going to perform a mighty work. He's a vessel. That's why sometimes to plant anything, you have to prepare the soil. Okay, let's see here. I want to skip around. Hold on. And later is later as we go down, I want to more paraphrase. Ananias questioned him, see, you want me to lay hands on Saul? Don't you know he persecute us? And here you want, are you sure this is you talking to me? But it was interesting that God had to take away his sight in order for him to see. Okay, I'm going to move around. Okay. Turn your books to Mark, the 8th chapter, 22 verse. And he cometh beside, and bring a blind man unto him, and besought him, and touched him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit in his eye and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And then I want you to follow me here, because something happens. And after that, he put his hands again upon his head and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Keep in mind, it was a two-part healing.
Amen.
Sometimes he was expecting just to receive his sight, but no. He received his sight after seeing, because when it says, when he saw tall men as trees, that's in the spiritual. No one's walking here around that tall. Hey, I'm sorry, I just glanced over to you. Sorry, bro. Continue. And it's like he didn't just want the man to receive his sight. He wanted the man that he could use insight, that he could go on life seeing with true insight, and not just using his sight. Okay, we got a few more scriptures to go. I hope y'all don't mind. Nah, y'all don't mind. Nah. Turn your books to Ephesians, the first chapter, the 18th verse. It says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Yeah, I had to marinate on that just a little bit. I mean, I got it, but I want to make sure y'all got it. That, again, seeing is not... Seeing is more than sight, and sight is more. Sight is less than seeing. Okay, I'm moving right along. Turn to Proverbs 3:7. And I think we've heard this last week. "Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil." And remember about the man that he spit into his eyes. He didn't want him. He wanted him to see first before the sight, because he wanted to maintain purity. He wanted his first glimpse of the world to be seeing and not natural sight. Okay. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 7th verse. And this is something y'all heard over and over again. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And as I was studying this, it took me to a different level, because a lot of times when we use our sight, we is mostly involved with feeling. And so many times we feel we in the right direction. Like in the bathroom, it's like I thought I was in the right direction. But knowing I was that close to the staircase, I really had to go to the bathroom after that. We always doing what feels good and not we need to use more of our insight to find out the big picture. That's why it's important to stay in communication, having a relationship with God, so you can have that insight. And a lot of things that we keep on tripping over, we won't have to do. We, like the guys I told you about, if they knew they couldn't continue crossing the bridge, they would, what, made another way. But they were so busy trying to save energy from going down a rocky cliff and back up. And now they have to go across the bridge, come back, and then why? Bingo. Okay. And you know, I'm not really going to be up here long, but it's some things I just wanted y'all to know. Well, it looks like that all I want to stress and continually stressing upon you, because as I'm talking to you, the same's going for me. You know, it's like I'm talking to you, y'all, but I'm preaching to myself, because we all need help with this walk. We definitely do. I don't know about you, I'm tired of going back around Joe's barn, going across the big bush, the cactus. I don't want to be on a scavenger hunt. I want to go to the kingdom. I want to gain my true inheritance. That's what this walk is all about. And if you don't have to go through a detour, then why do you? You know, as again, I'm preaching to myself, because I'm famous with detours, U-turns, and all that. Even driving. But anyway. But if I cannot stress it enough, to find your true calling, to find your true existence from why you're here, because everyone has a work to do. Right. Everyone has a calling. We going into a new building. Everyone has a work to do. It's important to, I know y'all have relationships, but make it more intimate. Make it more intimate. If you have more intimate relationship with God, that means your thoughts, His thoughts would be your thoughts, because you're entwined with Him. Amen. And that then you can become seen. You can become less likely to take U-turns and detours. And with that sight, with seeing, you take it with you. You go to work seeing. When you go to work seeing, people are coming to you that need to see. You go to school seeing. You wake up seeing, because you constantly entwine, connect it. Don't lose that connection. Don't have God take away your sight so you can see. We shouldn't go through this, and we go through so much stuff that we shouldn't be going through. And yet, the time is near. I don't know, but y'all, I want to be prepared to get in and get up and get out. I'm tired of detours. So I'm going to leave everything the way it is, because I want this to sink. People that don't get it now, by Wednesday, you get it. And you'll start doing some research and seeking. I want to see. Okay. Praise God. Bow your heads.